WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Screenwriter Herman Mankiewicz might be the protagonist of the acclaimed film Mank, but the real scene stealer is Amanda Seyfried's performance as Marion Davies, the woman Mank befriends and betrays. The film Mank, directed by David Fincher, is set in the golden age of Hollywood and tells the story of the writing of Citizen Kane. Mank, played by Gary Oldman, is an outspoken, bright, alcoholic screenwriter full of contempt for the Hollywood bigwigs who write his paychecks. In Citizen Kane, Mank turns the focus of that anger on the uber-wealthy media magnate William Randolph Hearst. There's a catch, though. While Mank may despise Hearst, he has formed a true friendship with Hearst's romantic partner, actress Marion Davies. Marion is beautiful and sharp and funny and self-aware. She fully understands the outside world believes she's only had a career because of Hearst and that he funded her films and promoted them in his newspapers, but it doesn't seem to bother her so much. Among the crowd that hangs around Hearst Castle in San Simeon, Marion and Mank bond through their sense of humor and outspokenness. But that friendship is tested when Mank decides to fictionalize Marion in Citizen Kane as the laughable and talented heavy-drinking singer Susan Alexander Kane. Amanda Seyfried's portrait of Marion Davies earned the actor a Golden Globe nomination for Best Supporting Actress, and in about 2 weeks, she'll probably add an Oscar nom to that as well. You can stream Mank on Netflix now, and Amanda Seyfried joins me. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Oh, God, I hope you're right. That's so nice.
I've got Spidey sense. I think that's going to happen. So when you learned about that you had the part and you were going to be playing Marion, what kind of conversations did you have with yourself and with David Fincher about the pros and cons of going down a research rabbit hole about Marion's life?
Well, I think David Fincher and I both had a very clear idea, especially based on this perfect script by his late father, that we were going to show a different side of her. We really believed that that she had a better story to tell, and that people, when looking back at Marion Davies, the scope of her is kind of shrouded in this idea of her that came from the fact that Susan Alexander was inspired by her, but not based on her. I mean, the similarities are really lacking there. And we talked about, you know, how we wanted to show how important it was to show the bond between Herman Mankiewicz and Marion Davies, and how important it was just to show the world a different side of her and kind of reclaim her legacy. And it was incredible, but also very incredibly intimidating because, you know, the responsibility is great with portraying a real person, mm-hmm. especially someone that doesn't have a voice anymore. So you really have to kind of breathe new life into this person and hope you're doing her justice. And that was terrifying.
What was something you learned about her through your research that had an effect on your understanding of her as a person and that you were able to tap into for the role?
I think when I'm portraying somebody who really existed, the first thing I do with any character is try to relate to them. And I think what was really fascinating to me about Marion is that she didn't take anything too seriously. She wasn't precious about her, you know, where she was on the totem pole. She understood her role, but she also knew that she was smarter than that. And she used, you know, she was very smart, and she was very witty, but also, you know, knew what she could and could not say, depending on who she was with. And you know, she truly loved this man, Hearst, which is bizarre to me. But they did really have a truly loving relationship. And I just think the way we both see life, the way we both kind of live in the world, is very similar. And it was very surprising to me, because I imagine it would have been really difficult to be a woman back then. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, so many limitations. And so I just thought it was so incredible and refreshing to know that she walked around kind of similar to the way I do, and that you don't take things too seriously. You wish people understood you more. You understand why they don't, why they do misunderstand you, but you still try to have as much fun as you can. And you know, that I took that with, you know, I kept that at the forefront of my mind when I was playing her.
That relationship with Hearst, I'm curious what kind of love you think it is, because she calls him Pops, which is also sort of a phrase of the day. But is it a familial love? Is it a romantic love? What do you think?
I don't know. I know it is romantic. I know they were very romantic. I think she knew him at such a young age. It became not familial, but he was comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it perplexes me, of course, but I imagine that it was somebody she was going to love no matter what. Like, it was an unconditional love. Not because he was like a father to her, not because he was like a brother to her, but that he was like a friend to her. And even though they existed very differently in the world, and they did, their careers were very different, I think his belief in her and his respect for her, in some ways, I feel like he disrespected her, but he really just wanted, he just truly wanted her to be happy at any cost. And I don't think he knew really exactly how to make her happy, but the intent was there, and the intent was good. So I think that's what happens when you know someone from, you know, such a young age. She was 16 when she met him. You know, she was very suspicious of him, but then the more time you spend with somebody, it kind of solidifies whether or not you're going to be together for the rest of your life or, you know, walk away. And she didn't. So they were together until he died.
My guest is Amanda Seyfried. We're talking about her role as Marion Davies in the film Mank, which you can watch on Netflix. So I read that you were really able to have a collaborative experience with the stylists and the hair and makeup teams and the costume designers. How do those styling choices affect your work and how you do your job?
To be able to collaborate as much as I did on this specifically, it just makes you feel closer to the character, to choose which rings, which purse, to choose which bottle which flask to use for your gin. It just gets you that much closer to somebody who feels very far away at the beginning. It's not just somebody who exists in this world that we live in right now, someone who existed in a world that is so far away in a lot of ways and so hard to reach. And especially because I don't have any interviews of her speaking as Marion Davies. I just have footage of her in her movies. And those little choices just make such a difference in how I own this character and make me feel closer to her. So it was important. I mean, everybody had made these decisions long before I was cast. Everybody, their minds were just rolling with ideas and research of Marion before I even knew that that this movie existed. So the fact that they brought me in and welcomed me so warmly and let me be a part of it, I mean, it was the best kind of experience for an actor.
The first time we meet your character in Mank, she's on a film and she's on this pyre that's about to be made to look like it's on fire. Let's listen to a clip. Here you are as Marion Davies speaking to Gary Oldman as Herman Mankiewicz from the film Mank.
I need a favor, but you're going to have to promise you won't laugh.
Given the state of the world, a tall order.
You're gonna. I just know you are.
I have got such a hangover right now, there's just a fighting chance I won't.
I'm being burned at the stake, and I am dying for a ciggy boo. There. God's punishing you. Watch those stairs. They're treacherous.
Every moment of my life is treacherous. Any last words?
Welcome to San Simeon.
I've written worse.
You've never seen it?
No, but George Bernard Shaw was right.
How's that?
It's what God might have built. Had he had the money.
Well, as they say in the Bronx, make yourself to home, Mr. Mankiewicz, or shall I call you Herman?
No, please, call me Mank.
Okay, we talked about the look. We need to talk about the sound. Amanda, the accent, the New York accent. This is New York Public Radio. What was your process like in developing that accent?
Well, the first discussion I had with David about the accent was going to be that it was going to be subtle. And I mean, Marian had grown up in this world. She's elocution classes. She's trying to beat it out of her for her roles. But of course, you know, when she's just Marian with Mank here, she's herself, and you don't lose that, especially growing up in New York. So it was going to be that I was going to have a deeper voice and a subtle, like Brooklyn accent. And I was very comfortable with that. And I also worked with my esteemed voice coach, Liz Himmelstein. She's the best. And, I believe she worked with Gary as well. She just made sure that I wasn't going to fall out of it at any point. So when you do something subtly, it's easier to make your own, and it's easier to get, you know, it doesn't distract you from the moment as an actor.
What was something you learned about that accent in your work with the coach that's just subtle that was enabled you to really nail it?
Oh, God, I don't know. Well, I guess I just kept running the lines with her, and we had exercises. I don't even remember anymore, but it's just like making sure you're really just deepening everything. And I mean, it was the R's and the way, the shape of my mouth. I don't know. I don't know one thing, but there was no trick. At the end of the day, it was just in me. I could do it all day, and it's more fun.
In that scene, you know, it's a funny sort of sidebar. People go and watch the film. Cinephiles know David Fincher believes in a lot of takes. And I mean, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that opening scene was a reshoot and you were actually pregnant during it?
That's, yes.
So, first of all, how are you feeling standing up on that, doing reshoots as a pregnant lady?
The anticipation was much worse than the reality of it. I was actually coming out of my... I'm very lucky. I was coming out of my morning sickness around week 8, and that was week 9. So I was feeling, I was on coffee again, which is saying a lot for me.
Right.
And it's hard. Your body just treats, you're just different physically. Mm-hmm. And what I learned is that mind over matter, you know, every time we rolled, I forgot. And I was there. I was also, this scene was so in our bones at that point because we had shot that scene in the beginning of the movie back in November. And so I was in it. It was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. The scene is so much better than it probably was back in November. So, you know, I think my son added a lot to my performance, I like to think.
Oh, hi to your husband, Tom, by the way. He's been on the show. Fantastic actor as well. Talented household.
He is, yeah. We love it.
I'm curious, you know, I know you've been asked about the takes a lot, and I think it's interesting when we interview indie filmmakers, a lot of them will say, hey, I only had 20 days on the set. I didn't have time to be precious. Sometimes you just went with a thing that felt natural right away. So I'm sure you've worked in those situations. What do you get as an actor in terms of doing it again and again? I understand what the director gets out of it, but what do you as an actor get out of it?
I get no regrets. I get a clean break, and I get to walk away knowing that I had every opportunity to find those moments, and and it's a luxury. I do a lot of independent films and also even studio movies. The budgets are just shrinking every year. And,
oh, interesting.
And it really is important to have that kind of time. And that's why David Fincher gets such great performances out of all of his actors, because we leave no stone unturned. It's really amazing and rare.
My guest is Amanda Seyfried. We're talking about her role as Marion Davies in the film Mank. Let's talk about alcoholism and how it's portrayed in the film. Marion, it's never really explicitly discussed in the film, but in many of your scenes, we see her as she's got bottles stashed around, and she's, you know, got a, you mentioned flasks earlier, putting more booze in her glasses. We never see her lose control the way Mank does throughout the film. So what conversations did you have with David Fincher about how to portray Marion's relationship with alcohol?
I think, I don't remember a clear, long discussion about it, but I do know that we touched on that she enjoys her alcohol. Pops doesn't like it. Pops doesn't allow it. She has to do it outside of the house, and that she really, that it's a very close friend of hers, alcohol. In real life, Marion was very troubled. I mean, she just, mm-hmm. It just got worse and worse as she got older. And yeah, that was the sad truth, but we weren't, like you said, weren't explicitly going to go into that. But I think you see Herman's just, he goes, you know, he's on a different page in that realm than Marion is. And I think that, you know, there were probably times where she went off the deep end, but alone, or, you know, she presents differently when she's that far gone. Whereas Herman, of course, blows things up. She probably takes it in more. I mean, I wish I knew more about that, really, but it was interesting how Pops liked everything to be as dry as possible, even at dinner, and that she had to just hide everything.
Did she have to hide her smarts as well? I mean, there's this great scene when they start talking about politics and it turns to Hitler, and Marion keeps bringing it back, and she gets this look from Pops, from Hearst, and she says, "I'm probably talking nonsense." And Mank says, "You're the first one tonight who isn't." Did she have to hide her smarts in some way because of the time and place? And do you think she was a feminist?
I don't know if she was a feminist. I think she just existed, and she just, I think she was not very political and not very, she didn't want to get in the way of anything. She didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable. But she didn't have a filter either. And it was, I think you see her struggle with that when she walks away. It's like, God, I did it again. But like, mm-hmm. Who cares? Who right. cares? And she realizes that, I mean, people know she's smart. I do believe Hearst knew she was smart, and I'm positive they had these conversations after hours when everybody, you know, had gone home. I'm sure that they discussed things, and he would, you know, slap her on the hand. I think he knew that, and I think he appreciated it, but there was a time and place for her to be who she was, and that moment was not that time or the place, and she loses herself very easily. So I think that's beautiful. I feel like I'm muting myself often because I don't want to hurt it. I don't want to say too much, or of course I don't want to offend anybody, but I also sometimes have a hard time keeping my mouth shut because I just want to be honest and be understood. But it was very complicated being a woman mm-hmm. in that time with those people in this industry. And so that's what makes the relationship with Mank so beautiful, that she could be herself with him and he wasn't judging her or holding her to a certain standard. She was celebrated for being her. And I don't think she had a lot of that. I mean, it must've been hard.
On the opposite end of the spectrum, one of the most memorable scenes from the film is this dinner party where Mank gets drunk and he's pontificating and you're in this majorette costume and the camera cuts to you and you don't have any dialogue, but it's in a long scene and you're truly having to act without words yet say so much to us, the audience. When you see a scene like that, what tools do you use? What do you think? What do you have at your disposal when you don't have the language?
I have the story, and I think words do get in the way sometimes for me, as the actor in me. I think sometimes they get in the way from being able to express what I'm truly feeling. And my favorite thing about acting is reacting. And so this whole scene was just reacting to things falling apart around me, relationships falling apart, this person I love being offended and uncomfortable, and trying to relate to him that I was still with him, and that Mank was the antagonist. And it's funny, I was talking to Vanessa Redgrave the other day about Mank, and she said something that I had never really thought of. She said, you left the room, but you couldn't leave the room, but you could tell that you had left. All you wanted to do was leave the room. And I was like, yeah, that is kind of what happened. I gave up in that scene. I felt all the things that I was afraid to feel. And as Mank went on and on and on, he was just like blowing up all these relationships and in such an unkind way. And it's just the whole thing was heartbreaking, but heartbreaking for different reasons. So I was playing like a ping pong match with myself, you know, and going between Mank and my heartbreak for what he was doing to her. So it was a very indulgent for an actor. And I was also so ill, because that was like week 6 of my pregnancy, that I had about 5 drinks underneath the table, and I was really terrified that, but like I said, when we'd say roll, we'd say action, it was mind over matter, but my God, between takes it was a nightmare. So much was going on.
Okay, now when everybody goes back and watches Mank again, you'll be doubly impressed with that piece of information.
I don't mean to be like, it was so difficult. So no, but it was one of those things. It was the fusion of everything was there, and but it made it that much more fulfilling. And of course, I walked away from that scene thinking, gosh, you know, I want to be in a silent movie. That would be so fun. Go back to Marion Davies' roots. That would be incredible.
The name of the film is Mank. You can watch it on Netflix. My guest has been Amanda Seyfried. Amanda, thanks for giving us some time today.
Thanks. Oh, gosh, anytime. I love talking about it. Thanks for having me.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.